Today's daf is daf Yud Beis. We start on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. A little bit more about caring today. At least that's what we're going to start the discussion this morning. Excuse me. So the reason why we're continuing a discussion of Hotzah is because the Mishnah says that a chai can't go up a machtel. You can't have a tailor on Erev Shabbos walk out with his needle. The concern is that he walks out with his needle on Erev Shabbos. So he's going to carry. He's going to end up carrying it on Shabbos itself, and that would be a malacha, the violation of malacha v'tzah. So it's a gzera d'rabbanan, it's a precaution. So the Chachamim said that once you get to Erev Shabbos Friday afternoon, so we tell the tailor, don't go out with your needle. Now, was he wearing the needle in his lapel, or was he holding it in his hand? So if you remember yesterday, that was subject to a debate. Meaning, if you wear your needle in lapel and walk out while the needle's in your lapel, is that a nisa d'araisa? Is that hotzah? Or do you have to specifically carry it in your hand? So if you recall yesterday, we had a machlokas tanaim about this very topic. The machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. So Rav Meir is of the opinion that patur v'al aser, that if you go out with a needle in your lapel, it's not carrying mina Torah, but it's just simply it's a derabanan, patur v'al aser. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, no, that's the way he walks out. Meaning, since he normally carries in that manner, so therefore he's going to be chayiv if he carries out in that manner on Shabbos itself. Good. That's a machlokas in Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and we're going to have a similar type of machlokas over the following scenario. Tanicha, we learn one brisa loyetza, azav bikiso. Azav has a pouch. Now, why does Azav have a pouch? Because he wants to collect his ziva. For halachic purposes and for sanitary purposes. So let's go over each one. Halachic purposes, because we know that if a zav, we're talking about a man, obviously. So we know that if a zav, he has a re'i of one zava, so he's tamei. If he has a re'i of two, so now he's a zava gadola, which means he has to count out shiv and akiyim. If he has three re'iyos within 3 days, so that means not only is he zava gadola, but he has to bring a karbon. Meaning after the shiv and akiyim, he's required to bring a karbon in order to be mechaper. So, for their halachic purposes, he needs to wear this little pouch, simply to know, was I Zav or not? Meaning, he may have had a discharge, and if he doesn't have a pouch, he may not know. So the pouch is there in order to tell him that he had a discharge. Okay, so that's the halachic reason. Of course, there's also a sanitary reason. Meaning, it would, of course, be embarrassing for him to have clothing that gets stained because he had a Ziva discharge. So that pouch is there to provide sanitary and prevent him from being embarrassed. One brisa says on Shabbos he should not wear his kiss, and if he goes out on Shabbos, patur v'al aser. So this is the rabbanan to do so, to go out with this pouch, but it's not hotzah min hatar. V'tani idach lo yetze v'im yetze chayiv chatos. And the second brisa says shouldn't go out, and if he does, he's chayiv karban chatos, which means it's a malach of hotzah. So now what we are experiencing is a very similar type of machlokas where you have the Zav going out with the pouch. Everyone agrees he shouldn't go out with it on Shabbos. But if he does so, is that Otzah? So according to one opinion, no, it's not. It's still Aser Min HaTorah, but it's not Otzah. And according to the second opinion, it's Aser Min HaTorah, meaning it is the Malach of Otzah. So I'm Rav Yosef, Lokash Avramir Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yosef says, good. It's the same svara as the previous machlokas, meaning the tailor going out with a needle and a lapel. Is that a malach or is that not a malach? Well, since the tailor, that's his derech bekach, since that's the way, that's what he does, that's how he carries out. So according to Rav Yehuda, he's chayev. So that's the second brisa. The second brisa says that you're chayev. Look, most people don't walk around with a pouch, but the zav does. And because the Zav does, so for him, he's going to be chayiv. Meaning, you look at each person individually and say, is that the way he normally goes out? And I don't look systematically at everybody. And the first brisa...
The first brisa
just...
is part of the clothing, basically.
Hold on, one second. So, wait. We're almost there. And according to the first brisa that says patur v'al aser, so that goes with the position that going with a needle and lapel. Look, he may do it that way, but that's not normally how people walk around with needles. Most people walk around carrying needles in their hands and not wearing in the lapel, and therefore I look at what most people do, and since most people go out that way, since most people don't go out that way, so that's not hotzah, here too. Since most people don't wear this kiss, so therefore he wouldn't be chayev. This is Rav Yosef's explanation of the two brises. Amle Abaye, Eim Dushamas Le Rav Meir B'Midah Dela V'Hainu Orche B'Midah Hainu Orche Mishamas Le. So Phil, this is basically your point. So Abaye says, I don't understand. So according to Rav Meir, look, it's unusual. Meaning to wear a needle in your lapel. It's not normal for people to do so. Even for the tailor. Say, yes, some tailors may do so.
What's the lapel?
This guy? In other words, just stuck in your jacket. Oh, sorry. So that's for him. Even for the tailor, that's not how people normally carry. But over here, when you have the Zav, he wears a pouch, meaning that's what he does, and that's part of his clothing. So that means as follows. Meaning, let's put it this way. That in order for something to be considered a malacha, it has to be done by a professional. Meaning that the act that has to be done has to be the best and most exquisite way of doing so. So let's say, for example, the Gemara gives a really out of left field example, but the Gemara gives the following example. Let's say I have somebody who's really not good at chiseling into wood. Okay, but he chisels into wood, and he makes a hole, or like a recess into wood. Basically, he starts carving. And he does an amateur job, because he's an amateur. He's not even an amateur. The Gemara calls him a hedyo. Okay? But basically, he gets the job done. So Rav Meir, hachin amidola mechayv. Now, what is Rav Meir going to tell you? Well, you know, that's how he did it, but that's not how it's done. Like, he did an okay job. But that's not how it's done. Come here, let's get a professional. A professional show us how it's done. You mean to tell me that according to Rav Meir, only if it's done the best way imaginable, then and only then you're going to be chayev? Of course not. So in other words, if that's how it's done, even though that's not how the best person does it, but that's how it's done. So too when you're wearing this kiss on Shabbos, this pouch. Meaning, I understand that a lot of people don't wear it, but for him, that's how it's done. He wears it. So Gemara says like this. Okay. So we basically got the basic sense that wearing the pouch is considered wearing, and you're not allowed to wear it out on Shabbos. One braisa says that if you do so, it's hotzah, and the other braisa says patova asr. So the Gemara says, I think I can resolve in the following manner. How many re'ios did he have already? Did he have two or did he have three? And that makes a big difference. Why? So as Rashi explains, because if you only had two re'ios, you need to know if you're going to have that third re'iyah. Because the difference between two and three is a carbon. So you're really going to want to know whether or not you had a third one. So therefore, you want to wear that pouch. As opposed to if you only had three, so then what's the point? Meaning halachically, that is.
Wait, and therefore, if you had two and you really want to wear the pouch, then you are carrying?
Yeah, so then that would be considered an act of carrying. Right, because you need and want the pouch. But if you had three already, then it doesn't matter. What difference does it make? Three, four, five? It's basically all the same, meaning halachically there's no difference between a Zav Baal Gimel Rios and a Zav Baal Dala Rios. It's all the same. So the Gemara says, so maybe that's the difference. So the Gemara says, even on this answer of Rav Hamnuna, so Kamu Gimel Rios, Maishna Zav Baal She Rios, the Chayev, the Mibayla Lebedika, Zav Baal Gimel, Nami Mibayla Lesfira. So the Gemara says, well, I can even give you a halachic explanation for the Zav Baal Gimel. Meaning, why is he wearing the pouch? I'll tell you why. Because when you're Zav Baal Gimel, so you need Shivanakim. Shivanakim means 7 contiguous clean days. You can't have any type of separation in those 7 days. Meaning, just like a woman, when she's counting her Shiva Nakiyim, there have to be 7 contiguous clean days, 7 consecutive clean days, and if she has any staining in those 7 days, so she's got to start all over again, same thing is true with the Zav. When a Zav goes through a Shiva Nakiyim, he can't have a Zav emission during one of those 7 days, and if he did so, start again. So I can give you a halachic reason why even the Baal Gimel is going to want to wear this pouch. Lo nitzricha ella lababayam. So the Gemara says, okay, here's the case. The case would be where on Shabbos already he saw his third re'iyah. Now when he start counting Yeshiva Nikiyim, next day. Right. Perfect. So in other words, so on that day, there's really no point in wearing the pouch. Meaning because you're already now a Zav Baal Gemel Rios, you're not going to start counting Yeshiva Nikiyim until tomorrow. Sunday will be day 1. of Yeshiva Nikim, so that would be the example where there's really no halachic reason why he would wear it. So Bahami Baile Kedeshulay Tanfu Kela, so the Gemara says, okay, good. No halachic reason why he would wear it. But there's a sanitary reason why he would wear it. And so now the Gemara's question is basically as follows. If you're wearing an article of clothing, not for warmth, but for simple purposes of sanitary.
Prevent embarrassment.
Right, in order to prevent embarrassment. So is that considered clothing? Okay? So, and obviously the Gemara over here could be taken to a number of examples, right? Babies don't walk, but basically diapers for babies. Although that's not just sanitary, that's also... Right, huh?
For adults.
Right, for adults also. Okay, so in other words, right, a lot of practical application comes out from these next lines of the Gemara. Sorry. So Shalo Yitan for Caleb, so the Gemara says, so what about the fact that he's wearing it for sanitary purposes? Amar Rebbe Zera, Aitan Hudamar, Kolat Solitin of Lo Kachashiv. The author of this Braisa doesn't believe in sanitary. No, the author of the Braisa does believe in sanitary, but it has no chashivas. If you're wearing something only for the purposes of keeping yourself clean, that's not chashiv, that's not significant. And how do I know that? So the Gemara is going to go to a Mishnah Machshirin. Now this is going to be a bit of a stretch, but okay, we're going to make the stretch. We're going to the Mishnah and Machshirin. Now you know the basic rule. That in order for something to be mekabel tumah, it has to come into contact with water. For a food, to be clearer. For a food to be mekabel tumah, it has to come into contact with the water. Or any one of the seven liquids. There are seven liquids that'll be machshir, that'll prepare food now to become tameh. I was just reading over Yontif. Rabbi Kornfeld has an article that the seven mashkin, the seven liquids that are machshir, correspond to the seven Yontifs of the year.
Oh, yeah, we
did this already, right? It's a great match. It's a great match game. The honey is Rosh Hashanah, and wine is Purim, and oil is Chanukah, and blood is Pesach. There's one of them that's really tricky. And milk will be Shavuos. Milk is going to be Shavuos. So water, of course, is Sukkos. Dew, Rabbi Kornfeld argues, goes with Yom Kippur. Because dew is a liquid that's not really edible. And that's the match for Yom Kippur. Anyway, it has to come into contact with liquid, but that's not enough. Meaning it's not just simply coming into contact with liquid, it's got to come into contact with liquid that is beratzon. You have to want it to come into contact with liquid. Incidental contact by machshirin is nothing. So for example, here's a Mishnah. We'll learn a Mishnah together in machshirin, fourth perek. Hakof ha'kara lakosel. So let's say I turn a plate over against a wall. Im b'shul she'tudach ha'kara reze b'chiyutan. Meaning, if I want that water to clean the plate. So in other words, I want that water right now. And as the Mishnah of Rashi quotes the Mishnah in Machshirin, one of the first Mishnahs in Machshirin, wanting of the water doesn't mean when it comes into contact with the fruit. It means at any point in time. Meaning if there was a time where I wanted that liquid now has the power to be Machshir. So here, I want the water to clean the plate. So that water now is in the category of Chiyutan, and that's Machshir water. In Bishvil, we're now on the top of Yudbeis Amud Aleph, Shalo Yilaka Kosel. If, however, I'm only placing, overturning the plate on against the wall, only so that the wall doesn't become wet, Eino Bichiyutan. That liquid, that rainwater, is not Bichiyutan. That is a Mishnah Machshirin. So what do you see from that Mishnah? That if your only purpose is for sanitary reasons, is to keep something clean, it's not significant. The Gemara says, "Mi dami, really? That's a comparison." Hashem lo kabay lo lani mashkin klal. There, it's a total rejection of the water. I don't want the water in that case over there, as evidenced by the fact that not only am I putting a kli on top of the wall so the wall doesn't become wet, I even turn the kli, I invert it, so I don't collect the water at all. But hacha kabay lo lahi kis le kabula beziva. But here, the whole reason why you're wearing the pouch is because you want it to collect the ziva. And halo dami ala seifa. In fact, if you want to look at a Mishnah in Machshir and say, what is this compared to? How about this compared to this Mishnah? Let's say we have a very similar case where the rain is coming down and I have a bowl to collect the water. Any rain that goes into the bowl is going to be b'chiyutan. So in other words, even though I'm not really interested in cleaning the bowl, but any time that I put something out there to collect, it has chashivus. So therefore, this pouch should have chashivus. So the Gemara is kind of stuck now. Again, we're really back to square one. You can't wear the pouch on Shabbos. Good. If I do so, did I violate the Malach of Hotza'ah? So the subject to a debate. One Brisa says, no, it's not the Malach of Hotza'ah. It's only Nisr Derabbanan. And the other Brisa says, it's Hotza'ah. That's real carrying. So what's the difference between the two Brisos? So the Gemara says, Ela Abai V'Rava Dami Tavai Lokasha HaRev Yehuda HaRev Shimon. So the Gemara says, you know what? It's a Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa. And we go back to a classic machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now, it's not classic yet because we haven't discussed it yet. So let's discuss it now and it will become classic. Okay, we have basic concepts by Shabbos. And so this is the first time we're introduced to the idea of Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa. Stay tuned in the second paragraph of Shabbos. We're going to see it again. What is the basic idea of Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa? So for that, I turn to a Tosfos on Daf Tzadi Dalet. Okay? Yeah. Way ahead, but this is the basic machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos in terms of what is your definition of Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa. So the first thing I'll do is I'll give an example of what is a Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa, and then we'll try to give a definition. Rabbi Shimon says you're Pater, and Rabbi Yehuda says you're Chayev. And by the way,
Tosfos, yeah.
Huh?
That's a Tosfos.
The different Maskel that we're going to look at is Rabbi Shimon Pater.
Yes,
absolutely. Okay, so let's go over a classic example. What is a Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa? So the Gemara says like this. Rachman Litzlan, God forbid, somebody dies in the house. And so it's going to be, in other words, you know the rule. You can't bury him on Shabbos. At the same time, however, it's somewhat unpleasant to spend the rest of the Shabbos with a mace in the house. Okay? It's uncomfortable. So you take the mace, you pick him up, and you take him outside. Okay, so you just transfer the mace from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. So that is a classic example of a Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa. That's your case. Okay, good. Now what's your definition? Meaning, so what is now a Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa? So Rashi gives the following definition. Now you're not going to see this. You're not going to find this Rashi anywhere. This Rashi is quoted by Tosfos. Tosfos says, my great-grandfather said. So Rashi is quoted as saying that, you know what a Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa is? It's any time you have a scenario where you wish you didn't even have to deal with it. Meaning you wish it wasn't even here. Right? To quote Rashi inside, if you want to see it in the Tosfos, it's in this long Tosfos, it's about 8 lines from the bottom of the Tosfos. Rashi appears to Bertzono lo haitza ba lo, velo hayitzarech la she'ena ela lesalka me'alav. Your interest is, like, just, I wish it weren't here, just get it out of here. Okay, that's the basic definition of Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa. So by the mace, you totally understand. Meaning, I wish there wasn't a mace here altogether. I mean, I guess you could start off with, I wish he didn't die. But in other words, I wish there wasn't a mace over here. In other words, just let's get rid of it. Now, by the way, you can't take the mace outside. I hope we're clear about that. Meaning, that you're not allowed to do that. But if you did it, does that constitute a malacha? So Rashi says no. Why? Because that's the purpose of a malacha is to do something positive. But if it's just simply to get rid of something, that's not a malacha. Right. So that's Rashi's definition. I think Tosfos' definition is more popular. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a popularity contest. I wouldn't know. But I would say that if you ask people, what's the definition of Malach HaShen Yitzrich HaLagufa? So I think people would go more with Tosfos' definition, which is, every malacha is what? One activity that was done in the Mishkan. When an activity was done in the Mishkan, it was done for a particular purpose. Meaning when I'm grinding, right, which is one of the 39 malachas, I'm grinding so I could take the grain and make it into flour. Meaning there's a particular purpose why I'm grinding. Or so, for, let's say, for example, choresh, plowing. Why am I plowing? I'm plowing so that there's a hole in the ground so that I can plant seeds. In other words, there's a particular purpose. If I do a malacha not for the purpose as was done in the Mishkan, that's a malacha she'en yitzrich HaLagufa. That's Tosfos' definition. So, for example, I'll give you a... So, right, so I'll give you... No, dragon chair is...
It's also...
It's a dovish and a miskaven. So let's give you another example. Let's say I dig a hole in the ground, but because I want the dirt.
Right.
So Tosu says, that's a malach hashen tzrich l'gufa. Why? Because you're not doing it for the same purpose as was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, you dig a hole because you want a hole. But if you're digging a hole because you want the dirt, that's a malach hashen tzrich l'gufa.
Do you think it told us like that also?
No. Yeah, in other words, that would be true. This would be true for the Avos, and it would be true for Talados as well. So taking the mace out of the house, so Tosus would say, that's not the original intent. Original intent was, thank you. Original intent was to take an item from point A to point B. Here, my intent is only just simply get it out of point A. Okay, so...
throwing out the garbage is okay?
Again, none of it's okay.
No, I'm saying it's not a
malacha. It's not a malacha. It's a malacha shen yitzrich legufa. Now, by the way, how do we paskin? On the topic of malacha shen yitzrich legufa, this is interesting. The Rambam disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch, or let's say it more correctly, Shulchan Aruch disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam says, like Rav Yehuda, malacha shen yitzrich legufa yachayev. That's the shita of the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch disagrees, and the Shulchan Aruch says, no, that you're pater of a lasser. Okay, so interesting on this machlokas. So now let's go over here. So now we're finally back to our topic of discussion. The Zav wearing the kiss on Shabbos. So if you hold, so what the Gemara is essentially saying is this is a malach hashen tzrich legufa. Now you got to really figure out how is this a malach hashen tzrich legufa. So you
it's like a raincoat. Wouldn't it be like a raincoat in the rain?
Well, but now you're going back to the Gemara's previous discussion of. It's to keep you clean.
It's clothing. For him, it's a
big clothing. So, if you take a look at Rashi over here, now Rashi over here, I'm a little bit confused in terms of how Rashi is defining Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, but I'll read Rashi inside. How Rabbi Yehuda Dama Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa Shebertzono Lo Sase Ve'enetzarech Le'ikar Tachlisa. In other words, you're not interested in its main purpose. Ki hacha shein tzarich leziva zu, shal yada ba hakis hazeh, v'afapi ken chayev alaha. Kind of fits in with the Rashi that I quoted earlier. Meaning, if you were asked, would I want to be a Zav right now altogether? The answer, of course, is no. I'd much prefer not to be a Zav. I would prefer that we would not be in this situation altogether. Okay? It kind of fits in with the Rashi that we quoted earlier on Daf Tzadi Dalet. How would the definition of Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa? So if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, you're Chayev. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, you're Pater. Okay? And that's it. That's the Gemara's explanation of the two brises. We move on. How about wearing your tefillin in Erev Shabbos? Is that okay? Now wearing or carrying a needle is not okay. And going out with your pockets full, that's not okay. But tefillin, that's fine on Friday afternoon. Why? My time. Now remember, back in the good old days, they wore the tefillin all the time. They were holy people. So my time. Kevin Damar Rava Baravuna Chayav Adam Mamash Mesh Betfilin Kol Shav Veshal Kavacham Mitzitz Matzis Shein Bo Ela Askara Achas Hamatar VaHayam Mitzchot Tamid Shelo Yasiach Datom Imenu. Now when the Kohen Gadol wears it sits, so it's got to be on his mind all the time. Now on his mind, both literally and figuratively, meaning he wears it right here, right on his mind. But figuratively, meaning he's got to be aware of it all the time. How do you create awareness? You actually touch it. You touch it all the time. So you're wearing your tefillin, so same thing. It's got to be on your mind all the time. When you're wearing your tefillin, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you're wearing tefillin. You got to be on it. You got to be touching it all the time. So we're not worried that by tefillin, you're going to forget on Friday night, you're going to be carrying your tefillin. We're not worried. Right? Because you're always going to be making contact with it. Tefillin sheyesh b'hem azkar tzar be'alachas kama v'kama hilkach mitkad dakir. You'll remember. I'm sorry, mitkad dakir lahu. Tanya chanan yomer chayav adam lamashmash bebigdo. You should check your pockets. Now, this next gemara should sound familiar, right? We say it on Friday night, right after the second parak of Mishnah Shabbos. So check your pockets. Erev Shabbos im chashecha amar Rav Yosef hilchas harabsi l'shabsi. What a big halacha regarding Shabbos, meaning that it's very human nature to forget that you have things in your pocket. How often on Friday night when you're walking home do you reach into your pocket and you realize, oh, I have something in my pocket? So therefore, this is a big halacha. Check your pockets on Friday afternoon before Shabbos to make sure you have nothing in there. Lo yafle es kelav. Now, we're back to the Mishnah. Don't delouse on Shabbos. Your garments are infested with bugs. Don't start going through your pockets and checking to see the bugs. Ibailuhu. Why not? So the Gemara wants to know, what's the reason behind this? Lo yafle es kelav miyam shem yarog. Well, maybe the reason is because I may end up killing the bugs. And that may be, I'm going to be careful about how I say it, that may be a violation of Shabbos. Rabbi Lazar here, Detanya Amar, Rabbi Lazar, Hore Kina B'Shabbos, Ki Ilo Hore Gamal. Rabbi Eliezer says that killing any life on Shabbos is prohibited. And it does not matter the size of the life. It could be a camel, it could be a bug. You're not allowed to kill on Shabbos. V'lo Yikari La'or Aner Shemayata. And you're not allowed to read, because you may tilt the lamp in order to get more oil into the wick, and that would be a malacha of Havara. Or maybe, no, it has nothing to do with killing the bug. Maybe both concerns are, I'm going to need more light. Meaning, because when I'm delousing, those lights are small, and so therefore I may want to get more light in order to see it. Tashmain, Poland, Vein Korin, Laor, Haner. So the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says that you're not allowed to delouse and you're not allowed to read by the light of a lamp on Shabbos. So it sounds like the explanation is because I may come and tilt the lamp. Now the Gemara says, Mi'alima memasnisa. Now hold on one second. Meaning, I'm so happy you quoted the Brisa. Is that Brisa any better proof than the Mishnah? It's the same as the Mishnah, meaning that what you could do is you could take that Braisa, just like we did with the Mishnah, and segment the Braisa. The Braisa could be, ain't Poland, you're not allowed to delouse, period. And, ain't Karin, lower and air. Okay, so there could be two totally different issues. So Tashman, the Gemara says, okay, I got this, how about this, I have another Braisa. Ain't Poland, lower and air? Ain't Karin, lower and air? Good. And by the way, these are some of the halachas that were taught in the attic of Chananya ben Chizkiah ben Garon. Okay. Shmamina de Tavayu Shemayata Shmamina. Good. So the reason why the rabbis prohibited delousing on Shabbos is because you may need more light. But there's no concern about killing the bugs, which takes us to the next discussion of the Gemara. Well, hold on one second. Before we get to that, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Afilu LaAfkin Ben Big Dol LeBig Day Ishto. Yes, that's correct. This is laugh out loud funny. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says is that let's say you need to discern whether or not that clothing it belongs to you or belongs to your wife. So
she has a big closet at the time.
Yeah, I have the same story. I have the same domestic story in my house as well. So you're not allowed to use illumination, candlelight, in order to distinguish. Now Rav says, that's for the city people. Now you know those city people, so they're a reserved comment. Their clothing of the husbands and the wives are not that far apart from one another, and yeah, they need a lot of light in order to distinguish between the two. Aval de bnei chaklisa, but you know the farmers, the people out in the suburbs, made a yaday, so they know. In other words, they know the difference between their clothing and their spouse's clothing, and so therefore they don't need any real light in order to discern. And even in the city, only the older people. Basically, the men and the women are wearing the same type of clothing. By the way, if it helps, you understand this Gemara at all. Right. In other words, you understand that nowadays, right, men dress with pants. Back in the good old days, that's not how men dressed. Yeah.
No, they love
that. However you want to call it. Aval diyal dos me diyal de. But the younger people, even in the city, their clothing is distinguished from one another. Now, delousing out in the public, it's just not right. It's not appropriate. I mean, no one wants to see that. So in other words, do it privately in your own home. Also, epikak. You know, when I grew up, everyone was recommended to have epikak in their house. Nowadays, I think the recommendation is not to have epikak in your house. Right, so the So it, back in the good in the time of the Gemara, so they had it, not Epicac, but something that induced vomiting. So don't do it in the public. Again, Mimnei Akava. No one wants to see it. In other words, even if there's a medicinal purpose to it, do it privately. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamafle es Kalev. So Molal Vizorek Uvavashalo Yarug. And now we come back to the discussion. Are you allowed to kill little bugs on Shabbos? Right? This question comes up, especially in Sukkah's time, yeah, in the Sukkah. And all those little bugs that come on the table. And the little ants. So are you allowed to kill those little bugs? So we're going to have a brisa. So the brisa says that if you're delousing molo vizorek, so what you could do is not kill the bug, but rub it in your finger. Basically,
play with it.
Play with it a little bit. Disable it, if you will. I'm being careful about how I'm saying it. Meaning not kill it, but disable it. Right, rub it in your fingers, uvavashalo yarug, but don't kill it. Abishal omer, no tavazarek, uvavashalo yimlo. And Abishal says, no, you can't even rub it in your fingers. Meaning, pick it out carefully, throw it away, but you can't even disable it. Now, Amar Rav Huna. Now, I'm sorry, before I go on to the Gemara. Let me say it better. Why? So Rashi over here says as follows: the second wide line in Rashi, Molo Vizorek, Bishabis Molo Lahatish Kochan, right? You're basically disabling the bug. Shalo Yachzru, Elav Uvavad Shalo Yimlo Bidochek Viyarog. Disvira Le Harigas Kina Shvus. This first opinion is explains Rashi holds that killing a bug is an Issur Derabanan. Okay, Rashi doesn't elaborate. What is the Issur Derabanan? He doesn't elaborate. And Abishal k'Rabbi Eliezer. Now Abishal sides with Rabbi Eliezer. The opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is you can't kill any life on Shabbos, not even a bug. Umechayev chatas. And so therefore Hilka Chazrina Melila Shalo Yarog. So therefore, according to Rabbi Abishal, who follows within the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, you gotta very carefully pick the bug up and move it to the side, but making sure not to kill it, so you can't even rub it in your finger. Amar Rav Huna Halacha Molo Vizorek Vizel Kvodo Ve'afilu Bechol. So the halacha is, says Rav Huna, that you can rub it in your finger, but you can't kill it. And even during the weekday. Now,
what if it's a brown recluse?
Huh?
What if it's a brown recluse?
Oh, I don't know.
Spider.
A spider? I don't know. To how big a bug are we talking? I don't know. So, Rabba Makdelahu, Rav Sheshes Makdelahu. Now, the Gemara tells stories about Amoraim who killed. Now, is the story over here talking about during the week, or is it talking about on Shabbos?
So, you're not allowed to kill on a weekday.
Huh? So Rashi says that here where the discussions are still on Shabbos. Yeah. Meaning, Rashi writes two simple words, Makdelahu, Horgan, Uvi Shabbos. So, Rashi says that we're talking about on Shabbos. Meaning, even though Rav Huna says that you're not allowed to kill, but you can only roll it in your fingers. So these Amoraim disagree. And Rabban Rav Sheshes says you can even kill the bug on Shabbos. Take a look at Tosfos inside. So Tosfos says, no, we're not talking about on Shabbos. We're talking about during the week. And because Tosfos says that the Riva says, it's the last Tosfos on the Amud. The Riva says that we pass on like Rav Huna. Rav Huna says you can't kill. So therefore, when these Amoraim were killing, it was during the week. Rav Shadil Lakina Demaya. Rav would drown the bugs. Amalu Rav Nachman Levante. Rav Nachman says to his daughters, Ketulin Vashmin Li Kala De San Vasai. Kill the bugs. And I want to hear them die. I want to hear my enemies die. Obviously, he was not a fan of the bugs. Tanya Rav Shema Malazar Amein Organas Amma Chalos B'Shabbos Divrei B'Shamai. You can't make a shidduch on Shabbos. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, making a shidduch on Shabbos means like as follows. Meaning, it's not just saying, hey, I have a girl, you have a guy, great, let's make a shidduch. It's more than that. Shidduchim is actual contractual arrangements between prospective in-laws. So, for example, right, how much is the dowry you're going to give? Good. Meaning, we're having this kind of discussion on Shabbos. And apartment, no apartment. Right? It means it's more than just you know, I have a nice girl, you have a nice boy, it means actual brass taxes, contractual arrangement between the mechutanim. V'lo esatino kolam dosefer, you cannot contract a rebbe to teach your kid on Shabbos, olam de omnus, or neither to teach a profession, ve'ein menachman mavelim, and you can't do nicham mavelim, ve'ein mevakim chol, you can't visit the sick on Shabbos. Divrei Beis Shammai. Uveisil matir, and all these things, Beisil says it's mutter. So you're allowed to engage in all these activities on Shabbos. So it comes out, according to the Gemara, that you are allowed to kill small bugs on Shabbos. It's only the large animals that you're not allowed to kill, but small bugs you are allowed to kill. And Tosos sides with the position of Rashi. If you take a look at the end of that Tosos that I just quoted earlier, Anan Samchina and Rashi, the perish b'Shabbos v'kaima k'beisol d'shar b'sabach. Good. So that's Tosos as well. Rashi certainly says that as well, that you're allowed to kill little bugs on Shabbos. Yes.
Is there an issue about trapping bugs? You can't trap them.
Right, in other words... Right, correct. So again, we're talking about small bugs, so I don't know at what point exactly do the bugs get too big where none of this applies anymore. By the way, my Yedidus, anyone sing that at the Shabbos table? So, right. I don't want this to start turning into a sing fest, and especially if I'm leading, I don't want it to turn into a sing fest. Okay, but right, Hirurim Utarim... Right, we sing in my Yedidus this Gemara, meaning that you're allowed to think about business on Shabbos. You're not allowed to talk about business on Shabbos, but you're allowed ulshade chabanos, and you're allowed to make shiduchin on Shabbos. Vitino kolamdo sefer, right? You're allowed to hire a rebbe for your son. All that is our Gemara right over here. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Why? So you can either turn to Rashi or you can sing the song in your head. one of the two. Chafatzecha boasarim. Meaning, and Rashi over here basically writes exactly that. Right? Ein mishadchin, take a look at Rashi. Ein mishadchin, mishabbos, mishum mimso chafatzecha, ubeitil amatirin, dekasarvi chafatzecha, velo chafze shamayim. Meaning, your business activities on Shabbos, that's prohibited. Chafze shamayim, but if it's a mitzvah, like shiduchin, like teaching your son Torah, so for a mitzvah that you're allowed to do, even though it's going to require to talk money and dollars, but that's fine. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Hanichnas Levaker Sachola. So now we just went over the opinion of Beis Hillel that you're allowed to visit the sick on Shabbos as well as Nicham Avelam on Shabbos. So what do you say, Omer b'Shabbos? Do you say on Shabbos or Omer Shabbos he melizok urafur krova lavo? So that's what you should say, because on Shabbos you should not mention illness on Shabbos. So you visit the sick, but you don't talk about the illness. Remeir Omer Yechola he shit terachim. Remeir has a different nusach of what to say. It has the power to have rachmanas. Top of Yud Beis Amid Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hamakom Yerachim Alecha V'Chole Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanis on you and on all of the Chole Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Amakum Yerachim Alecha, Besoch Chole Yisrael. Okay. Shevna Yishu Shalayim. You want to see an interesting Tosus inside? There are two interesting Tosusim. But I'm just going to bypass because of time consideration. The first Tosus over here discusses, according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Meir, we're only judged one time a year, and that's called Rosh Hashanah. So why are you davening on behalf of the Chola? He was already judged on Rosh Hashanah. Now, according to Rav Yossi, we're judged every single day. So you understand why there's a purpose in davening every single day. But according to Rav Meir and according to Rav Yehuda, what's the purpose of davening if it's not Rosh Hashanah or if it's not Yom Kippur? Okay? That's the first Tosfos over here. Let's take a look at that Tosfos inside. The second Tosfos over here, the Gemara here is referring to a man by the name of Shevna. Now, for those of you who remember Shevna in Tanakh, bad person, a really bad person. And Tosfos over here wonders, how can anyone name their child Shevna when Shevna was a Rasha? And can you name children after people who are Rishayim? That's the second Tosfos over here. So take a look at Tosfos inside. I went to school with a boy by the name of Nimrod. First name? Yeah. So anyway, so the second Tosis on this Amud, so take a look at that Tosis inside as well. In the meantime, however, we're back in the Gemara. Shavni Yishur Shalim Bechnisaso Omer Shalom. So when he would go visit the sick, so when he would come in, he would say Shalom V'yitziyaso Omer Shabbosim Elizak Rufu Kravalava V'rachamav Merubim V'shabbosah B'shalom. Okay, so that was his Nusach. Keman Azlahad Amar Avi Chanina Mishesh L'chol B'soch Besot Tzarech Shiyar Avena B'sochol Yisrael. When you have someone sick in your house, so when you ask for Rachmanus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, include him together with the rest of Chol Yisrael. Come on, Rav Yossi. So that goes like Rav Yossi, because Rav Yossi says that's what you should do. Include him in the other Cholim. Now, the Chachamim did permit you to visit the sick and to be Menachem Avil on Shabbos, but Bekoshi, meaning the Chachamim did it, but uncomfortably. They weren't comfortable about the whole idea. Now, you understand there's a tension. On one hand, of course you want to visit the sick, and of course you want to be Menachem Aval. On the other hand, it's going to make your Shabbos unpleasant. And so, okay, so with that tension in mind, so they allowed it. Ama Rabba Bar Chana ki Ava Azina Basre de Rabbi Eliezer Leshule Betficha Zimnan Amar Hamakom Yifkadech Leshalom Vizimnan Amar Rechamecha Yitkarenech Leshalom. So sometimes he would daven for the chol, and sometimes he would daven in Hebrew, and sometimes he would daven in Aramaic. Okay? It's the same line. It's just Hebrew versus Aramaic. So the Gemara says, now wait a second. You can't do that. In other words, you can't daven in Aramaic. Interesting. Gemara, fascinating. Gemara, the Gemara says, you can't daven in Aramaic. Why not? Because the Malachi Asharis don't understand what you're saying, and they don't understand Aramaic. So says... I mean, we don't understand Aramaic. So the Gemara gives a fantastic answer. Shani chola d'shchina imo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when you're visiting a chola, you know you don't need the malachim. Shchina is right there with the chola. Shenema ravana namarav minayin sheshchina soed es a chola. How do I know that the shchina is literally feeding the chola, supporting the chola? He's right there. Shenemar Hashem Yisadenu al Eres Davai. The pasuk in Tehillim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is on my sick bed. When you go visit the chola, so don't sit down on the bed. Don't sit down on the chair. In other words, don't sit. You should sit right up against his head. Because the Shechina is right there, right above his head. Supports the chola. Okay? So therefore, when you daven by a chola, you could daven in any language. It doesn't have to be in Lashon HaKodesh. So, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there. Okay, so, a couple things over here. So, number one, we'll start off with Hedi's issue. What about Kaddish? Kaddish is in Aramaic. So, by what right do we have to say Kaddish in Aramaic?
You're doing with a minion there.
So, the answer is that when you're davening, when you're saying Kaddish, you're only saying Kaddish with a minion. And once you have a minion, we talked about this in Brachos, Kaddish Baruch Shechina is right there. Shechina is right there with a minion, so that gives you the right to say Kaddish. And that also explains how Brich Shmei, right, that's in Aramaic, or Yikum Por Kan, that's in Aramaic. So again, those are all things that we only say when we have a minion. So that assures that you have Shechina, but by yourself, you should not say it.
But when you're davening individually, you still say Oval Etzion, no?
When you're davening individually, but that's Targum, meaning that's Pasuk and Targum. Okay, and Targum you're allowed to say, it's davening, it's petitioning, that you're not allowed to do. Okay, interesting question by Tosfos, it's a brain teaser. Tosfos doesn't answer his own question. Third Tosfos on the Amud, Now, by the way, there's a larger issue, big issue, which is that our Gemara says that when you daven, so what happens? So the malachim take the tefillah and bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, right. So do we believe in that? So the answer is yes. I mean, the Gemara just said it. That's not. Let's rephrase the question. Can you do that? Meaning, in other words, when you petition, can you actually petition the malachim? Or do you petition God with the understanding that the malachim are the ones who bring the tefillah up? Again, we're so limited in terms of how we understand all this. But in our limited understanding, can we actually petition the malachim? That's a major debate. In fact, in Slichos, it comes up a lot. I don't know if you have this in your Nusach. In our Slichos, we have a paragraph called Machnisei Rachamim. I don't think you have it. Anyway, Machnisei Rachamim, basically we petition the Malachim directly. And do you say that in the Slichos? So you'll find that wherever you go, it's a debate. Some people have Machnisei Rachamim in Slichos, some people take it out. The Rav, I know, took it out. He took it out of Slichos. He did not like saying it. So anyway, so that's a major debate whether or not you can petition the Malachim directly. Shalom Aleichem, another place where this comes up. Again, it's up for debate.
But that's not a prayer.
Okay. I'm okay. You can make that argument. I'm okay with that argument. Now,
but you're not
Tosfos over here, look at the third Tosfos on the Amud. Real brain teaser. Tosfos says, look, the Malachim don't understand you, and so therefore, so you have to daven in Lashon HaKodesh, Tema. It's a small Tosfos, but I'm skipping the first part of Tosfos. Last three lines of Tosfos. Da'afilu machshava shebalev kol adam yodim. V'lashon arami en yodim. You know the malachim, they know what you're thinking. Now it's fascinating. Tosfos doesn't bring any type of support for that statement. He says it. The malachim know what you're thinking. So if they know what you're thinking, you think language is going to be a barrier? You think they don't understand Aramaic? Okay. So that is... and Tosfos leaves that question unresolved. Okay. I saw Rabbi Kornfeld. This morning he offered the following suggestion in order to explain Tosfos's kasha. He says, "What does the Gemara mean altogether when the Gemara says that the Malachim don't understand Aramaic? I mean, that's strange. Meaning the Gemara says it. Of course, we accept it, but what does that mean?" So he quotes a Ravid to this effect, that it's not that the Malachim don't understand Aramaic, they're Malachim. They don't like Aramaic. Okay, that's the Ravid. He talks about this? No. They don't like Aramaic. What Aramaic is a corrupted Hebrew. And so for them, meaning there's nothing wrong with speaking another language, right? Other languages are nice. We're talking right now in another language. But what Aramaic is a corrupted form of Lashon HaKodesh, and so therefore the Malachim don't like it. And so perhaps based on this Ravid, you can understand. It's not that the Malachim don't understand what you're saying. They don't want to be involved in Aramaic. That is a suggestion of Rabbi Kornfeld. Okay, what do we do now? We'll stop. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up straight from the two dots. Okay, fascinating. Gemara is coming up tomorrow. Okay, please come again. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha,